Thank you, Greg and team, and good morning, everybody. Glad to see you today. Welcome to our first service here at the First Colony Church of Christ. Let me invite you to please take out your order of worship and be turning to the back, to the section that says, This We Believe. All of us here engage regularly in a lot of very casual conversations. We do so around the water cooler. We do so with friends in the community, maybe at the ballpark or the pool or wherever. And, you know, we talk about all kinds of things. So what do you think about the Astros these days? You excited about the start of football season? You know, college kicks off next weekend. You got the pros kicking off in a couple of weeks. What do you think about the Texans this year? How do you think they're going to do? Why do you think so? And, you know, all kinds of casual conversations, and the opinions flow. Well, I think this. So what are your thoughts on the economic forecasts? Well, I think this. I think that. And that's just part of conversation. It's good. Opinions flow, and opinions are a dime a dozen. When was the last time somebody asked you, what do you believe? What are your convictions? What are your absolute values? What are those? Well, this church has been in existence for a little over 24 years, and years ago we hammered out our statement of faith, and we mean it in terms of the leadership of this church. I mean, we're not speaking for other churches, not speaking for other churches of Christ. Over the last 3 months, I've spoken at 6 other churches of Christ, and are they identical to us in terms of all their practices? No. Is their heartbeat very similar? Absolutely. Wonderful churches. In fact, some here in the greater Houston area, some other places, the kind of churches where if my children were moving there, I would say, that's a church you ought to seriously consider investing yourself. You know, go there, attend, give, serve, be a part of that place. There's some churches I couldn't say that about. I mean, you know, churches aren't franchises. And so when I put this out, I'm not saying this is for everybody. I'm saying this is who we are. This is what we believe. These are the theological convictions of the leadership of this church. Been around for a long time. When was the last time you read it? What I'd like to do this morning is walk through it. Okay? Here we go. Let's get started. We believe Jesus Christ is the head of his church and that authority for life and doctrine rests in him. So initially, that says something about our belief in the church, that we love the local church. And we believe that the local church is connected to Jesus, that Jesus is the head, meaning that he is, yes, the authority, but he's also resourcing his church. That healthy churches, and when I say churches, I don't mean some wispy generic idea. Yeah, I'm a member of the church. I mean, most of the time when the Bible uses the word church, it's talking about a specific group of people in a specific place. Tangible folks that you know, you love, you're a part, you're connected to it. That healthy churches are in the heart of Christ, that's important to him, and that this church belongs to Jesus, that you may have been here longer than anybody. Wonderful. I'm not minimizing it. That is fantastic. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your giving. But whatever we do and whatever we give, it's not to control the church. It's always to support the church because the church belongs to Jesus. The purposes of the church ought to be his purposes. The heartbeat of the church should be his heartbeat. And so that's the very first statement right there. We believe Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Secondly, We believe the Bible to be the only inspired, infallible, and authoritative Word of God. We accept the Old Testament writings as the history of God's dealings with His people, preparing the world for His presence in the person of His Son, Jesus. We also accept the New Testament in conjunction with revelations recorded in the Old Testament as the sole authoritative source of information concerning the will of God manifested in the person, life, and teaching of Jesus Christ. All that to say, we really believe the Bible, and we believe the Bible is a unique book, that it is the breath of God, and it is authoritative, that there's nothing like it. We're not saying that tradition has no place in the role of a church, not saying that reason has no place in the role of a church, not saying that that experience and emotion has no place in the role of it. No, absolutely they do. However, Scripture trumps them all. Scripture is the Supreme Court. And here in this church, we just say it out. We believe the Bible. We teach the Bible. And we seek to apply it. And we love the Bible the way we love our eyes. I love the Bible the way I love my eyes. I don't love my eyes because my eyes are lovely. I love my eyes because through them I can see what's lovely. And through the Bible, we can see what's lovely and what's beautiful and what's eternal. And it's just full of wisdom, giving us direction. I hold in my hand a GPS. And this is really a great GPS. This is a motorcycle GPS. Used it as recently as yesterday morning. This is a modern navigational aid. This one's waterproof. This one's shockproof. And through this navigational aid, it just gives me direction. And that's what the Bible does. The Bible gives us direction. It is God's spiritual compass. God's spiritual GPS. And so we say it right out loud that Scripture is not just a source of information. Oh, let's study it. Isn't it neat? You know what this... It is a source of direction and transformation. Okay? All right. Let's continue on. Thirdly, we believe there is one true God who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. God is eternally existent in three personalities, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. By that we mean we do not believe in atheistic evolution. We believe that the great designer behind it all is an eternal God. And that last phrase, admittedly, is beyond my ability to grasp. That last phrase, I grasp it and believe it by faith. It is hard for me to do that kind of math. Three and one, one and three. I acknowledge it, as the Apostle Paul would say, great is the mystery of godliness. That there are features of God, facets of God, beyond our ability, my ability. I know enough of Him to believe Him. I've experienced Him. I know He's real. But there are features and facets of God that are beyond my ability to grasp. But we do believe in what's called the Trinity. Fourth, we believe in the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, His virgin birth, sinless life, miracles, atoning death on the cross, bodily resurrection, bodily ascension into heaven, and His personal return once again in power and glory. In other words, we really believe that Jesus is who He claimed to be. He claimed to be the Son of God. We believe that His miracles attest to that fact and that His resurrection is proof positive that He is exactly who He said He was. Anybody here believe in Jesus? Very good. Let's go to the next one. We believe that salvation cannot be gained by human effort, but only through God's grace in the redemption He provided in Jesus Christ. a redemption which is responded to by faith and which leads to a life devoted to obeying God. People wonder, how can a moral failure be right with God? Is that even possible? In Islam, you are taught to please God and purify yourself. Buddhists would point you to an eight-way pathway in life. Hindus encourage you to realize your own godhood. People in Judaism would point you to the Old Testament. We believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be and that his death on the cross was a sacrificial death and that we can know, keyword, we can know, we can be at peace with God. We can know, we can celebrate the reality that we can be made righteous, get this, and that our righteousness is an alien righteousness. It is outside of us. We can be at peace with God based on the merits of another, based on the merits of Jesus, that his perfect life has been accepted by Father God as our substitute, that on the cross he was punished in our place. And therefore, we serve him, we respond in faith, we serve him with a heart of love and surrender. And I can affirm to you today that through the cross of Jesus Christ, salvation has been a possibility. It has been achieved for you, and it is available, as the Apostle Paul would say, as the free gift of God. Okay, let's continue on. In essentials, we have unity. There are certain things the Bible is extremely clear on and very forceful on. We have unity. There is one body, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. In non-essentials, doubtful things, we have liberty. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. Stop passing judgment on one another. Each of us will give an account of himself to God. So whatever you believe about these things, these non-essentials, keep between yourself and God. Romans 14. And from 1 Corinthians 13, in all things we show love. The Bible says, if I have faith to move mountains but have no love, I amount to nothing. In other words, anything minus love is nothing. To me, this is a beautiful feature of the church. Absolutely a beautiful feature of the church. I have right here, you know what this is? I am a preacher with a badge. That's a scary thought, isn't it? I can arrest you. Not really. I could pray with you, but I really can't arrest you. But I'm a chaplain for Constable Precinct Number 4. If churches aren't careful, they can begin to set aside a number of extra biblical rules and begin to police and judge each other. Fashion statements. Political alliances, schooling options. Can a Christian have a tattoo? Now listen, I'm not against extra biblical rules for you. I'm serious. I have extra biblical rules for me. When my children were home growing up, we had all kinds of extra biblical rules. You have to be in by 11 o'clock. The Bible doesn't say that. That was a rule in our home. And as long as you're on my insurance plan, no tattoos. Now, please don't come up to me after the service showing me your tattoo. Bless you. Some of the finest people I know have tattoos. Get another one. Cover your body. That's wonderful. All right? But in our home, that was just... Now, I'm not going to go around policing other people on that. And in essence, what we're saying is, in churches, you have to know where you stand and where you can be gracious and flexible and loving with one another. And we call our membership to that kind of spirit. But not the kind of community that's full of scorekeeping. Okay, next one. We believe in the ordinances authorized in the church in the New Testament. Authorized for the church in the New Testament, namely baptism, immersion in water, and the Lord's Supper. Immersion, as commanded and exemplified in the New Testament, is a burial in water with Christ and resurrection to a new life with Him in the Spirit. The Scriptures record that the early church frequently observed the Lord's Supper as instructed by Jesus. You remember He inaugurated it on a Thursday night. We take communion each Sunday. I'm not going to spend time talking about this morning because next Sunday I plan to devote the entire message to talking about the role of baptism and communion in the life of a believer. But as an important part of the fabric of our church. Next, we believe in the present ministry of the Holy Spirit by whose indwelling. Key words, we believe in the present ministry of the Holy Spirit by whose indwelling. You see this? There's a light inside. That is the picture of a Christian. You come to Christ and there is something of God that is placed within you. God Himself, the invisible presence of God. And what does He do? By whose indwelling the Christian is enabled to live a holy life. Some of you freaked out when you heard this. Wake up. That's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Wake up. Hey, wake up. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is inviting you to Himself. The ministry of the Holy Spirit works within every believer, stirring us, prompting us, moving us, awakening us, so that He may nudge us and say, listen, you're drifting. You've wandered. And the Spirit of God indwells us and enables us to lead a holier life. I have here a power bar. The Holy Spirit gives us extra power. He is the holy helper. He enables, He empowers believers for service and seals them unto the day of redemption. I have here a present, a gift, obviously for a lady. That's okay. Men have gifts too. I have certain spiritual gifts. I have certain strengths given to me by God. I didn't ask for them. I don't deserve them. But I am accountable to use them. I am not accountable for your gifts. I am not accountable for your strengths. But God has gifted to you through all sorts of means, strengths. Some of you are postured uniquely to be very generous givers, some leaders, some teachers, some administrators. But the Holy Spirit works within us to take these strengths and use them significantly for the cause of Christ, and he's God's down payment. We have the Holy Spirit. It's a down payment for the promise of eternal life to come, which leads to this next statement. We believe in the resurrection of both the saved and the lost. They that are saved into the resurrection of life, and they that are lost into the resurrection of condemnation. Do you know who Jack Welch is? Jack Welch, former CEO of GE, a very public figure in the business world. He was once interviewed by Dan Rather, and at the end of the interview, Rather asked Jack Welch, he said, "What's the toughest question you've ever been asked?" And, you know, Welch said, "The toughest question I've ever been asked is this one. Do you think you'll go to heaven?" And Rather said, "Well, do you?" And Welch answered, "I've not done everything right, but I think I got a shot. I'm in no hurry to get there and to find out anytime soon." The Bible teaches there is a real place called heaven and a real place called hell. Real people go to heaven. Real people go to hell. The good news is we can choose, because God is not seated in heaven saying, "It makes no difference to me which way people go." To the contrary, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And listen, the truth of the matter is that hell is not some place where people go who deserve it, and heaven some place where people go who deserve heaven. To the contrary, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray, says the Bible. But the good news is we can receive the wonderful grace of God. And I hope that this promise of heaven will motivate you. I hope it motivates our church, because the promise of a future hope can be a very present help. You know, you sometimes hear the phrase, "Oh, he's so heavenly minded, no earthly good." That's just wrong. Jesus was the most heavenly minded person ever, and he did the most earthly good ever. Our future hope can be a very present help, and I hope that the promise of heaven will inspire you and motivate you every single day. Folks, today we are one day closer to heaven, one day closer to our reward. And never forget that whatever you do for Jesus, it is worth it. It is worth it. Whatever you do, nothing you ever do for Christ is in vain. God notices, and he promises to honor and reward. Okay. Next one. We believe that all who by faith are baptized into Jesus Christ are baptized, are immediately placed in, by the Holy Spirit into one united spiritual body, the church, of which Christ is the head. The purpose of the church is to glorify God by building its members up in the faith, by instruction of the word, through fellowship, by advancing and communicating the gospel to the entire world. The formation of the church, the body of Christ, began on the day of Pentecost and will be completed at the coming of Christ. I have here a grill. Anybody hungry? If these coals were hot, what would be the quickest way I could cool them off? Somebody says, "Oh, well, you know, you close the air vent." Somebody else says, "Well, get a little spray bottle of water." But really, if you take these coals and separate them, so they're not together, it's just a matter of time before they cool off. See, the purpose of the church, and folks, I applaud you for your faithfulness, your gathering, your togetherness. Never take our together times for granted. Because as we come together, we heat each other up. We fire each other up. And your presence and what you say when you're here and how you interact with one another, you're heating others up. You're firing others up. And that's one of the great blessings of the church, and it's part of our statement of faith. We believe that the church, that there is great power in togetherness, and that together we are better than we are individually. One more. We believe that we should cooperate in all possible ways in God's work with our fellow believers, being patient with one another in our differences. We acknowledge that sometimes churches have not been really quick to partner. And years ago, we said, we want to change that. We want to partner with other believers. We want to partner with other churches in as many good works as possible. And we've done that for years on a number of different fronts. The story is told, it's a true story, of a tightrope walker who strung a cable across Niagara Falls. And he walked back and forth. And folks came. They were amazed. Crowds grew. One day he got a wheelbarrow. And with a wheelbarrow, walked back and forth on that cable. Before he did it, he asked the crowd, he said, "Do you believe I can take this wheelbarrow across that cable?" And almost with, one voice, "Yeah, absolutely. We believe you can do that." And so he did it. He said, "Do you think I can do it again?" "Oh, yeah." He said, "Who'll get in?" There were no takers. It was easy to say, "Oh, yeah, yeah, we believe that." These can just be words on a piece of paper. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do today. I'm going to ask you figuratively to get in. Get in that wheelbarrow. To say, I can believe this too. Let the Bible be your compass. Let the Bible be your GPS. Invite God to be the CEO of your life. Invite Jesus Christ in a fresh way to be your Savior and friend. Allow the Holy Spirit to enable and empower you. Pray. Ask God for greater measures of the Holy Spirit in your life, and take those strengths that He's given you and strengthen your strengths for the cause of Christ. And regarding your salvation, celebrate it. Let the peace of God surround your heart. Relax. Anticipate the joy of heaven that's the promise of God to you, and be a part of the church in a serving way, in a dynamic way, in a joyful way, in a growing way, in a participatory way, so that together we can shine a spotlight on the cross of Christ locally and globally. Folks, nothing beats a healthy local church. It is the bride of Christ. Let's do our part. Let's hop in a fresh way. Okay, let's stand, please, for our closing prayer. When this service is over, if you'd like to speak with one of our church leaders, you can come right down front and because some will be gathered right down here, and we would be more than happy to have a chance to visit with you. Let's pray, please. Lord God, we thank you for your kindness and grace to us. We thank you for your plans. And the church is the bride of Christ and the great wisdom of your heart. We thank you for what you are doing in this place with these people. And Lord, I thank you that we have a solid foundation on which to build our lives individually and on which to build our life together. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.